Hi, I'm Chris from PleasureMechanics.com. Welcome to this week's Just the Tip episode of the Speaking of Sex podcast. Every Wednesday, we read you an excerpt from one of our favorite books or resources about sex, and then have a short conversation about it. At the end of every episode, we give you a tip or challenge to try out in your own sex life. For deep, penetrating conversations, keep joining us for our regular episodes on Fridays. But for short quickies, join us each Wednesday for Just the Tip. This week, I'm going to be reading an excerpt from a book called Sex and Punishment. It's one of my current obsessions. It's a massive book and I'm working my way through it. And in this book, it traces 4,000 years of sex law, how our current sex culture and sex laws came to be, starting 2,000 years BC. And I'm going to start at the beginning of this book with you because I'm going to share many excerpts over the coming months, because I think this is a really crucial topic to talk about and to understand together. You know, on the show, I often talk about sex culture and this idea that all of our individual sexualities are shaped by our common sex culture, and that we need to recognize that we actually have the power to create that culture. And sometimes when I talk about the history of sex and sex culture, people say things like, well, you think there are men sitting around in rooms making these laws up? And the answer is yes. There were very specific moments in history that helped shape our sex culture as we know it today. And what this book reveals and what we're going to talk about over time is the fact that sex culture both changes very rapidly, and we have an active part in shaping that culture together, and so much of our understanding of sex is still rooted in sex laws that predate biblical times. Going back 4,000 or 6,000 years or more, we are basing our current sexual behaviors on the morals and ethics and judgments of people 4,000 years ago. And this book reveals that history, and I'm going to share it with you over time. So let's get started. In the introduction, the author Eric Berkowitz says this: "Since the earliest periods of recorded history, lawmakers have tried to set boundaries on how people take their sexual pleasures, and they have doled out a range of controls and punishments to enforce them, from slow impalement of unfaithful wives in Mesopotamia to the sterilization of masturbators in the United States. At any given point of time, some forms of sex and sexuality have been encouraged while others have been punished without mercy. Jump forward or backward a century or two, or cross a border, and the harmless fun of one society becomes the gravest crime of another." This book aims to tell that story. And then he goes on to talk about the first recorded written laws around sexuality, and he says this: "All ancient civilizations were intent on controlling people's sex lives. The oldest extant written law, which hails from the early Sumerian kingdom of Ur-Nammu, circa 2100 BC, devoted quite a bit of attention to sexual matters. One of the earliest capital punishment laws on record anywhere concerned adultery. Ur-Nammu's Law Number 7 mandated that married women who seduced other men were to be killed. Their lovers were to be let off scot-free. Death awaited virtually every other straying wife in the Near East, while the fates of their lovers were often left to the husbands to decide. The first legal codes, such as that of Ur-Nammu, were founded on the customs of earlier precarious times. Even after small groups coalesced into identifiable societies, towns faced constant threat by bands of marauders looking to exploit any opportunity to invade and pillage. Adultery risked destabilizing the unity and bloodlines of a family, rendering an entire tribe or settlement that much more vulnerable. Ur-Nammu's death penalty for adulterous women was, in this light, no innovation. It was simply the first such punishment we know about that was written down. Ancient societies influenced each other, and the laws of one group often were adopted by its enemies and then developed further. As centuries passed, for example, the elementary sexual prohibitions of Sumerian kingdoms like Ur-Nammu evolved into the obsessively detailed rules of the Hebrews, which in turn became the foundation for the sex laws of the church and every Christian state. Okay, so that's just a taste of this book, which then goes on to trace in great detail 4,000 years of sex laws. And as I said, I'll share my favorite and the most amazing excerpts from this book over time with you. But for now, I just want to think about this idea that our current sex laws, our current sex culture, can be traced back to tribes living in the desert 4,000 years plus ago, and that the roots of sex law involved things like adultery and incest because humans had to create strong, stable social networks in order to evolve civilization. This slow migration towards tribal living and then village living required some control over sexuality. And I think it's really interesting that in the earliest sets of laws, so many of those laws involved human sexuality. And I think this points to the power of sexuality in culture and how much of a social force it can be. And the fact that it's always been controlled and punished, and certain sexual behaviors were enforced and encouraged, and other sexual behaviors were off limits and unlawful, makes us reflect on what we do with our bodies matters. It matters how we think about and how we address sexuality as a culture. But here's the real question. Are we now living in 2015 with all of our technology, living in a global society, living with an understanding of sexual diversity? Do we want our current sex culture and sex laws to be influenced so heavily by the sex laws of 4,000 years ago? And do we want to give them that much power? Because really, and we'll look at this in studying this book together, the lineage of sex laws can be traced very deliberately through time and haven't changed much. Only recently were the laws that made homosexuality illegal dropped in the United States. And it's amazing to think about the prohibitions of homosexuality that started 4,000 years ago have only just been written out of law, have only just been dropped, and we as a culture say, come on, let's get over this. Let's make queerness, gayness, legal. And we need to do this in all sorts of areas of our sex culture and our sex law, how we treat women, how we treat adultery. These things have not really changed. We might not impale wives slowly and torture them as punishment for adultery, but infidelity is still the third leading cause of divorce and breaks up a lot of marriages. And only recently are we starting to look at it with a new question and a new attitude of how do we deal with this impulse? Adultery has clearly always been here since it was written into the first known set of laws, and it will never go away. So we need to look at monogamy and adultery with the maturity and the wisdom of our time and say, how do we want to deal with this as a culture? What are our attitudes about infidelity and about monogamy? How are our attitudes about marriage shifting? And how can we have a new conversation about that? And my dear listeners, by participating in this conversation, you are on the cutting edge of sex culture. You are helping to have the conversations that are required to push sex culture forward. And to do that well, we need to know our history. And so this is what I'm going to try to do in this series over time, is to introduce you to bits and pieces of sex history and educate you so you can go out and have these conversations with your peers and with your communities, and to think about what it means that our sex culture is so firmly rooted in the past, in 4,000 years of sexual oppression and violence. And so your challenge for this week is to just think about this issue and think about what areas of sex culture would you want to change? What do you think needs to evolve and move forward about our sex culture? And what do you think is perfectly good just as is? And when I talk about our sex culture, I mean everything from how we talk about sex in the media, how we dress and styles of sexual expression that you see out on the street, how we treat casual sex, what are our conversations about that. Coming up on the podcast in a few episodes is a conversation about sexual shaming and sex bullying from the founder of the Unslut Project. So you'll definitely want to tune into that. But think about all the ways sex culture presents itself and what your values tell you about the evolution of sex culture into the future. Okay, my dear sophisticated, amazing listeners, thank you for sharing this time with me. I hope you got something out of this idea that sex culture and sex laws are firmly rooted in the past in 4,000 years of judging desire, which is the subtitle of this amazing book, Sex and Punishment. They will link it up on our podcast page over at pleasuremechanics.com. If you want to grab a copy and read it along with me and have this discussion with me, I would love it. Just get in touch over at pleasuremechanics.com if you're reading the book with me and want to discuss more. And if you have any questions you want answered on future episodes, be sure to head over to pleasuremechanics.com and let us know. When you're ready to master new erotic skills and evolve your sexual future, your personal individual sexual expression, come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and check out our online courses. We cover everything from couples massage to foreplay mastery to erotic spanking. And you can use the code JUSTTHETIP for 20% off the online course of your choice. I'm Chris from pleasuremechanics.com, wishing you a lifetime of pleasure. Cheers.